Coriolanus held his breath as she spun onto the stage, guitar in one hand, the ruffles of her acid green dress flaring out around her, her features brightened with makeup. The crowd rose to their feet. She ran lightly over as Tam Amber scooted Maud Ivory's box back and took center stage before the mic.
"Hey there, District 12, did you miss me?"
She grinned as they roared in response.
"I bet you never expected to lay eyes on me again, and that goes both ways. But I'm back. I sure am back."
Encouraged by his mates, a peacekeeper sheepishly approached the stage and handed her a half-filled bottle of white liquor.
"Wow, what's this? Is that for me?"
she asked, receiving the bottle. The peacekeeper made a gesture indicating it was from the group.
"Now you all know I stopped drinking when I was 12.
A big laugh came from the audience.
"What? I did. Of course, there's no harm in having some on hand for medicinal purposes. Thank you kindly. I do appreciate it."
She considered the bottle, then shot the audience a knowing look and took a swig.
"To clear my pipes,"
she said innocently in response to the howls.
"You know, as bad as you treat me, I don't know why I keep coming back, but I do. Reminds me of that old song."
Lucy Gray strummed her guitar once and looked around at the rest of the covey, who were gathered in a close half circle around the mic.
"Okay, pretty birds. A one, a two, a one, two, three, and."
The music began, bright and upbeat. Coriolanus felt his heel tapping out the beat even before Lucy Gray leaned into the mic.
"My heart's stupid, and that's not maybe. Can't blame Cupid, he's just a baby. Shoot it, boot it, execute it. Still comes a crawling to you who. Heart's gone funny, it won't hear reason. You're like honey, you bring the bees in. Sting it, ring it, give a fling it. Still comes a crawling to you. I wish it mattered that you chose to smash it up. How come you shattered that thing I love with? Did you feel flattered that you could just trash it up? That's why you battered that thing I love with."
Lucy Gray relinquished the mic, allowing Clerk Carmine to step up and do some fancy fingerwork on his fiddle, embellishing the melody while the others backed him up. Coriolanus couldn't take his eyes off Lucy Gray's face, lit up like he'd never seen it before.
"That's her when she's happy," he thought.
"She's beautiful. Beautiful in a way anyone could see, not just him. That could be a problem." Jealousy pricked his heart. But no, she was his girl, wasn't she? He remembered the song she'd sung in the interview, about the guy who'd broken her heart, and examined the covey for a likely suspect. There was only Tam Amber with the mandolin, but there were no sparks flying between them. One of the locals, maybe? The crowd applauded Clerk Carmine, and Lucy Gray took over again.
"Trapped my ticker, but haven't freed it. People snicker at how you treat it. Snare it, tear it, strip it bare. It still comes a-crawling to you who. Heart's been jumping just like a rabbit. Blood keeps pumping, but that's just habit. Drain it, paint it, I'm insane. It still comes a-crawling to you. Burn it, spurn it, don't return it. Break it, bake it, overtake it. Wreck it, deck it, what the heck? It still comes a-crawling to you."
After the applause and a fair amount of hollering, the audience settled down to listen some more. As Coriolanus knew from helping Lucy Gray rehearse in the Capitol, the covey had a wide and varied repertoire and played straight instrumental numbers as well. At times, some of the members would exit, disappearing behind the blanket to leave the stage to a pair or a solo performer. Tam Amber proved something of a standout on his mandolin, riveting the crowd with his lightning-fast fingering, while his face remained expressionless and distant. Maud Ivory, a crowd favorite, piped out a darkly funny song about a miner's daughter who drowned, and invited the audience members to join in the chorus, which surprisingly many of them did. Or maybe it was not that surprising, given that most were companionably drunk now. "Oh my darling, oh my darling, oh my darling Clementine, you are lost and gone forever, dreadful sorry, Clementine." Some of the numbers bordered on unintelligible, with unfamiliar words that Coriolanus struggled to get the gist of, and he remembered Lucy Gray saying that they were from another time. During these in particular, the five Coveys seemed to turn in on themselves, swaying and building complicated harmonies with their voices. Coriolanus didn't care for it. The sound unsettled him. He sat through at least three songs of this kind before he realized it reminded him of the Mockingjays. Fortunately, most of the songs were newer and more to his liking, and they finished up with the one he recognized from the reaping.
"No, sir, nothing you can take from me is worth dirt. Take it, 'cause I'd give it free. It won't hurt. Nothing you can take from me was ever worth keeping."
The irony of which was not lost on the audience. The Capitol had tried to take everything from Lucy Gray, and it had utterly failed. When the applause died out, she gave Maud Ivory a nod. The girl ran behind the blanket and appeared carrying a basket woven with cheerful ribbons.
"Thank you kindly," said Lucy Gray. "Now, you all know how this works. We don't charge for tickets, because sometimes hungry people need music the most. But we get hungry, too. So if you'd like to contribute, Maud Ivory will be around with the basket. We thank you in advance."
The four older Covey softly played while Maud Ivory scampered around the crowd, collecting coins in her basket. Between the five of them, Coriolanus and his bunkmates only had a few coins, which didn't seem nearly enough, though Maud Ivory thanked them with a polite curtsy. "Hold on," said Coriolanus. "Do you like sweets?" He lifted a flap of the brown paper package with the last of the popcorn balls so Maud Ivory could take a peek, and her eyes widened with delight. Coriolanus set them all in the basket, as they'd been earmarked for the tickets anyway. If he knew Ma, more boxes were on their way. Maud Ivory did a little pirouette in thanks, hurried through the rest of the audience, and then ran up on stage to tug on Lucy Gray's skirt, showing her the treats in the basket. Coriolanus could see Lucy Gray's lips make an ooh sound and ask where they'd come from. He knew this was the moment, and he found himself taking a step out of the shadows. His body tingled in anticipation as Maud Ivory lifted her hand to point him out. What would Lucy Gray do? Would she acknowledge him? Ignore him? Would she even recognize him, made over as he was as a peacekeeper? Her eyes followed Maud Ivory's finger until they landed on him. A look of confusion crossed her face, then recognition, and then joy. She shook her head in disbelief and laughed.
Okay, everybody, this is maybe the best night of my life. Thanks to everybody here for showing up. How about one more song to send you off to sleep? You might have heard me do this before, but it took on a whole new meaning for me in the Capitol. Guess you'll figure out why."
Coriolanus moved back to his seat. She knew where to find him now, to listen and to savor their actual reunion, which was only a song away. His eyes teared up when she began the song from the zoo.
"Down in the valley so low, late in the evening, hear the train blow. The train, love, hear the train blow. Late in the evening, hear the train blow."
Coriolanus felt an elbow nudge his ribs and looked over to see Sejanus beaming at him. It was nice, after all, to have someone else who knew the significance of the song, someone who knew what they'd been through.
"Go build me a mansion. Build it so high, so I can see my true love go by. See him go by, love. See him go by. So I can see my true love go by. That's me." Coriolanus wanted to tell people around him, "I'm her true love, and I saved her life."
"Go write me a letter. Send it by mail. Bake it and stamp it to the Capitol jail. Capitol jail, love, to the Capitol jail. Bake it and stamp it to the Capitol jail."
Should he say hello first, or just kiss her?
"Roses are red, love. Violets are blue. birds in the heavens know I love you.
Kiss her. Definitely just kiss her.
No, I love you. Oh, no, I love you. Birds in the heavens know I love you. Good night, everybody. Hope we see you next week, and until then, keep singing your song,
said Lucy Gray, and the whole covey took one final bow. As the audience applauded, she smiled at Coriolanus. He began to move toward her, stepping around people collecting their makeshift seats to pile back in the corner. A few of the peacekeepers had gathered around her, and she chatted with them, but he could see her eyes darting his way. He paused to give her time to extricate herself and just to bask in the sight of her, glowing and in love with him. The peacekeepers were bidding her good night, starting to back away. Coriolanus smoothed his hair and moved in. They were only about 15 feet apart when a disturbance in the hob, the sound of glass breaking and voices protesting, caused him to turn his head. A dark-haired young man around his age, dressed in a sleeveless shirt and pants ripped off at the knees, pushed through the thinning crowd. His face gleamed with sweat, and his movement suggested he'd exceeded his white liquor limit some time ago. Over one shoulder hung a boxy instrument with part of a piano keyboard along one side. Behind him trailed the mayor's daughter, Mayfair, taking care not to brush against the patrons, her mouth tight with disdain. Coriolanus shifted his gaze to the stage, where a cold, fixed stare had replaced Lucy Gray's eager expression. The other members of the band drew in around her protectively, their showtime levity draining away into a mix of raw anger and sadness. It's him, Coriolanus thought with dead certainty, his stomach twisting unpleasantly. It's the lover from the song.